All right, good evening. Oh my goodness. Take two. All right, good evening. Now that's more like it. Here it is, my home church, and you're falling asleep already. Some of you look at me like, who is this bald-headed guy up here? My name is Brother David Barker. Welcome to Scripture Memory Ministry, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. We are missionaries sent out of this church, and a lot of you say, well, what do you do anyway? We've heard about you. Well, I'm going to explain this to you. We are missionaries to America, and we do many, many things. Of course, we teach how to memorize Scripture. We teach how to memorize, how to review, where to find verses to memorize, how to remember the references. That's a biggie. Oh, that's a biggie. We talk about reading your Bible. We'll talk about that some tonight along with the message here. But there's many other things we do also. We do a lot of summer camps. We do vacation Bible schools. We do revival meetings. We preach in colleges. We preach in academies. And this fall, we also do mission conferences every 2 years. This fall, we're going to New Mexico, and we're going to be helping the Navajo Indians. We're excited about that. We went a couple of years ago, and they begged us to come back. We were there 2 weeks. This time, they said, we want you to come 3 weeks. So you pray for us as we go. Thank you for supporting us, and keep on praying for us. By the way, we're up to 90% in our support now. We had a couple of more churches this year take us on, so praise the Lord for that. All right, with all that being said, take your King James Bibles, and please turn over to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and we ask that you stand out of the respect of God's word if you are able. A lot of people ask this question, why do these preachers make us stand for the word of God? Is it because they're going to preach a long message? Not necessarily. Is it a Baptist tradition? Oh, it might be. But more than that, it's a biblical tradition. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for it was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. So there you have it right from Scripture, why we stand out of the respect of God's word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about the Bible way of learning Scripture. The Bible way of learning Scripture. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, what an honor and privilege it is to be here tonight. But Lord, you've given me a very special assignment. I ask, Lord, that they hear you and not me. I ask to hear your word. I pray that you speak to hearts, Lord, from the elders all the way down to the young kids, Lord, that they will hear this, get something out of it, and the results that lives might be changed, and souls might be saved, and children might be raised for you. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My wife and I travel all around this country. We do about 52,000 miles a year. We're in about 52 churches. That's no exaggeration. We enjoy it. Yes, it's tiring sometimes. My wife, bless her heart, is having a few health issues, but she's getting better. So if you see her around you and you're wondering where I'm at, I'm out preaching. We haven't had any problems or anything. We're doing great. But you know, as I travel, I hear many, many methods of memorizing Scripture. And there are many, many methods that you can use. Yet there's some principles that must be applied. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I go to Bible conferences, missions conferences, and a lot of the young people like to come up to me and start bragging about how much they've memorized, you know, to impress the Bible answer man. Well, then they tell me after that, well, I've memorized all that, but I can't retain it. Somehow I forget it. And I look at them and I say, well, maybe you memorized for the wrong reason. I thank the Lord for a godly father who taught me how to memorize at the age of 11. We'll give more of my testimony at the end of the message. But as he did this, he not only taught me how to memorize, but he also taught me these principles right here that helped me retain the verses. A lot of people say, how in the wide world do you retain all those verses? I'm known as the preacher man, the Bible answer man, the walking Bible. How did I get that? Well, I'm going to share with you tonight, and I hope this will be a blessing to all of you to help you understand. And we're going to look at this verse right here, a very familiar verse, but it has all the principles right here that you need to know. First of all, look at the first part. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The first point is this. The Bible should be memorized for keeps. The Bible should be memorized for keeps. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 93, it says very clearly, it says this, that, my mind's going blank here. It says that, I will never forget thy precepts, with them thou hast, I will never forget thy precepts, with them thou hast quickened me. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous here. But anyway, it says, never forget thy precepts. When you memorize something, you never forget it. So the first point under this, if you're taking notes, is A, the Bible should be learned, not just memorized. There's a difference between learning and memorizing. And this is where a lot of people make their mistake. We're good at memorizing. We're good at learning something quick enough to pass it for a test or say a section for a master's club or whatever. And then after it's done with, poof, it's gone. And then they come to the preacher, man, that's me, and they say, I have a bad memory. No, you don't have a bad memory. You just didn't memorize for keeps. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 73, thy hands hath made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Psalm 119, verse 7, I will praise thee with upright desire when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain into wise counsels. Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good that I have been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. Notice the Bible has several verses, lots more than these, that tell us that we need to learn the Word of God. It's there forever. We keep it in our hearts, which is the next point of that B is this. The Bible should be put in your heart, not your head. You kids listen carefully to this because I wanted you in here for this reason right here. There's a lot of difference between memorizing from your heart and your head. Now, I was once upon a time a little kid too. I was raised in the Awana program. By the way, I'm an old man. I remember when Dr. Voglin, I used to listen to his sections in Awana. Can you believe that? Yeah, that's true. Well, once upon a time, I was a pal. I was a pioneer in Awana. And you know what? I did that too at first. You know, you memorize it just long enough to pass the section. And oh, back then, I wanted to do that because my dad, he was in charge of everything. You got points for every section you passed. So if your team was behind and you wanted that big Three Musketeers bar, you know, everybody got one of those big Three Musketeers bars. You wanted to pass those sections because you got points for that. But the problem was, is that when I got home, I couldn't remember those verses for the life of me. And then my dad taught me the importance of memorizing from your heart, not your head. There's a lot of difference. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep thy commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Notice the word heart is all the way through here. Why? Because God is emphasizing for us to memorize from our hearts. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with me. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 3. It's a lot important about this. Now, once upon a time, kids, I was in school. And you know what, kids? I hated spelling. Anybody here hate spelling? Oh, look at that. Good, good. I'm not alone. And one of the things I hated was I had to write out those spelling words. Oh, I hated that. And then if you got one wrong, then you had to write it several other times. You know, get that cramming in your wrist. Oh, that was terrible. But I've learned something. Write out your verse cards. The Bible says, bind them upon the fingers. Write them on the table of thine heart. I have hundreds and hundreds of these categories of verse cards. I write them out, handwrite them, the reference on one side, the verse on the other, with the topic. You say, why do you do that, preacher man? I'll tell you why. Because if I'm going to make the effort to write them out, I'm going to take the effort to learn them. And as you're doing this, you're not only reading it, you're seeing it, you're thinking about it, and you're writing it. It's a lot easier to learn that way. And that's why you need to write them out. Now, you might want to keep your fingers there or a marker in Joshua chapter 1 and go to Psalms chapter 119, please. Psalm 119. We're going to also be in there a while. So if you have another marker, we'll go back and forth to these two passages and with others. But I picked these two passages, the Word of God passage, Psalm 119, because I believe it's very important for this message. Psalm 119, starting with verse 9 to get the context. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my iPad. Thy word have I hid in my cell phone. Thy word have I hid in my PC computer. Thy word have I hid in the flyleaf of my Bible. Okay, somebody asked me a question. Is that what it says? No. It says, thy word have I hid where? In mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Notice at the beginning of this passage, this long passage of 176 verses, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. You've got to put your heart into this. Now listen carefully to this statement, because this is what literally changed my attitude about memorizing scripture and everything. You've got to get to a place in your life where no one makes you memorize. You want to do it on your own. Let me say that again. You've got to get to a place in your life where no one makes you memorize. You want to do it on your own. It's not for a homework assignment. It's not for a degree. It's not for a section in master's club. It's not for a certificate. It's not for a star. It's not for a candy bar. It's not for a piece of candy. No, you're doing this because you want to get prepared. That's the difference. You see, a lot of times we do things because we have to. You do them out of obligation. You have to do it because mom and dad make you. You have to do it because it's required for a test. Well, that's great, but question, how long are you going to retain it? What's the purpose in memorizing it for? Yeah, you get a certificate, but what good is it going to do you if you can't quote the verses? What good is it going to do you if you can't use them in your life? What I found out was this. I had to get prepared. My wife says she's going to put this on my tombstone because I say it all the time. Get prepared and God will use you. Get prepared and God will use you. Oh, the verse for that is Psalm 16:1. The preparation of the heart is in man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Get prepared and God will use you. And when I found out I need to get prepared for God's work, I found I need to be prepared in the Word of God to have an answer. Guess what? I wanted to learn the Word of God. No one makes me memorize all these verses. I want to be prepared. Most of you know this, some of you don't. For 18 years, I worked at the largest prison in Indiana, Westville Correctional Center, as an officer. When I walked into that place, they told me even though I was a preacher, I was not allowed to carry a Bible. Can you imagine that? A preacher in a prison without a Bible? But God will use this. Remember, get prepared and God will use you. Well, it wasn't too long they found out that I was a preacher, so they started calling me preacher man for a good reason, because there wasn't a day that went by they didn't ask me a question from the Bible. I dealt with Muslims, devil worshipers, Jehovah Witnesses, agnostics, atheists, Pentecostals, thank you Jesus, you know, one of those guys. I did it all the time. Every day I was there. And on top of that, how would you like this to happen to you? Every day you walk in, they say, preacher man, what's the verse for the day? Well, you can figure it out. You can't give them John 3:16 every day now, can you? It doesn't work that way. You have to get prepared so God would use you. But I wanted to be prepared. There were Muslims and atheists that wanted to make mincemeat out of me, my Bible, and my God. And I wanted to be prepared to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, a lot of them came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, you get prepared, and God will use you. Now take your Bibles back to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll go to point 2 here. Joshua chapter 1, we started out with this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but there's more. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's the second point right there. Listen to this carefully. The Bible must be meditated upon to retain it. Let me say that again. The Bible must be meditated upon to retain it. This right here is one of the biggest points of memorizing Scripture that people overlook. We're living in the instant age. That's right. You think about it. We in America, what do? When we're hungry? We go to McDonald's. May I have your order, please? Yes, I like a Big Mac, a quarter pounder with cheese, an order of fries, and a Coke. Pull around, that'll be $8.55. Bloop, thank you. There you are. I don't know about you, but I remember, you know, before there were no microwaves, you used to boil a hot dog. Not anymore. What do? We put it in the microwave. Beep, 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 beep. Minute later, you have it, right? We want some information. What do? Okay, Google. That's what we're used to doing. But you can't do that with the Bible. The Bible must be meditated upon. It must be meditated upon. And this is how we're taught to read our Bible today. I don't know who started this, but this is how we do this. A lot of people do it just like this. All right, are you ready? It's January 1st. On your mark, get set, go. Yes, sir, we're going to start out with 5 chapters a day. Oh, no, we get busy. Now we're behind. Now we're going to do 10 chapters a day. Yes, sir, we're going to do this. Oh, no, it's almost January 1st again. I got to get done. We got to do 15 chapters a day. Oh, I got to do it. I got ta-da! I read my Bible. Ta-da! Hey, you know what? I read my Bible through in 1 year. Did you read your Bible through in 1 year? Yeah. Question. How much did you get out of it? Think about it. Take your Bible to Psalms chapter 92, please. Psalms 92, verses 5 and 6. I want to show you what the Bible has to say about reading your Bible, meditating upon God's Word. It has everything to do with memorizing Scripture and reading your Bible. Psalms 92, 5 and 6. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very what? Deep. Our brutish man knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand this. God's thoughts are very deep. Call me old-fashioned, call me a deep-in-the-word theologian, and I got the verse right here to back it up. But God's word should be read slowly. Slowly. How did you find all these verses to memorize? I'll tell you how. I read my Bible slowly. Psalms chapter 1 verse 2 says what? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalms 119 verse 15. I will meditate upon thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalms 119 verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119 verse 99. I have more to say than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Psalms 104 verse 34. My meditation in him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Over and over again, the Bible says this. Have you ever seen the word Selah in your Bible? It's mentioned many, many times, especially the book of Psalms. Do you know what that means? Stop, consider, ponder. I didn't write that. God did. It's not mentioned not once or twice, but over 70 times alone in the book of Psalms. I think God's trying to tell us something. You see, when you slow down, then you get something out of it. Now listen carefully to this. Sometimes I'll spend 2 or 3 days on 2 or 3 verses. You say, you're kidding. No. I'll tell you why. I meditate on them. They mean something to me. Every verse I memorize is handpicked. It has to speak to my heart. I apply it to my life. It tells me how to be a good preacher. It tells me how to answer somebody's question. It tells me how to lead a soul to Christ. And I don't know how we could go with this. I have a purpose behind why I'm learning the verse. And it comes right from my Bible. And I meditate and I chew it up. And this is the neat part. When you go to start memorizing a verse, it's not so hard. You know why? You've already meditated upon it. It's not how much you read. It's how much you get out of what you've read. Amen. Let me say that again. It's not how much you read. It's how much you get out of what you read. Slow down. There's nowhere in the Bible says thou shalt read 100 chapters in one day from the day that thou shalt not do so. Thou shalt surely be backslidden. It's not in there. Amen? And that's the problem. The devil has desensitized us. He can't get you out of your Bible, so he'll have you read too much to keep up with the Joneses so that you can brag to everybody how much you've learned. Supposedly. Or how much you've read. No. Slow down. Get something out of it. You are what you eat. And this is where I find all my verses to memorize. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. But my heart standeth in awe at thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Psalm 119 verses 161 and 162. You notice that? He stands in awe at thy word. He slows down. He gets something out of it. Meditate it. You preacher boys, listen to this. None of my messages come from the sword of the Lord. None of my messages come out of a book. None of my messages come from Dr. So-and-so on the radio from the theological seminary, praise the Lord. My message comes right from this book right here. God has to speak to me first. He has to apply it to my life. And I turn around and I preach what I've been learning from God's word. Now take your Bibles back to Joshua chapter 1, please. And let's look at point 3. Joshua chapter 1, and let's look at point 3. It says, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now look at this. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now that you've learned to memorize for keeps, now that you've learned the Bible must be meditated upon and retained it, now you have to do something else. You have to depend upon the Bible for your decisions. You've got to apply it to your life. You've got to put it into practice. And that's not being done today. If we did that, you would have no problem learning the Word of God. It's so important. Psalm 119 verse 133 says this, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119 verses 104 through 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Notice it just doesn't say it's ordered by the Lord, but we're supposed to delight in them. Some of you kids probably have the same attitude that I did before I got right with God when I went to grammar school. You look at that teacher and say, boy, they sure are mean. And they got a lot of rules. And you begin to hate them, right? I'll tell you why you hate them. Because you're not right with God. You see, those teachers got their rules not from Pastor Dameron. They got them from the Word of God. And they're trying to form your lives and order your steps. And you should back everything you believe up with Scripture. Everything. My dad said, son, never preach or teach anything unless you can back it up with Scripture. And you begin to see my dad created a monster. Well, I'm here to create some more monsters. Amen? Amen? I can't hear you. Amen? I'll tell you something, teachers. If you say, hey, you should do this according to the Word of God and put into practice the verses they're learning. You know those verses like even a child with nobody's doing the E-verse and all that stuff? I remember that stuff. My wife used to teach it all the time many years ago. You know, back when they had dinosaurs around here. But I'm telling you, it's so important to do this. When you're at home, back it up with Scripture. Tell these kids, hey, you need to do this. This is why from Scripture. As I got older, teenager, and I asked my dad if I could go somewhere. Sometimes he would say no. He just didn't say no. He would always give me a Bible verse. Why? Where do you think I got this from? My dad. He would give me something like Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh the wise man should be wise, but a companion of fools should be destroyed. Or Psalm 119 verse 63, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of all them that keep thy precepts. Everything should be backed up with Scripture. You say, you're making a big deal out of this. Oh yeah? Listen to these verses. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. Now here's the good part. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproof of instruction are a way of life. That's how much the Bible should be a part of us. Yeah. James 1:22 says what? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now here's the second part. I've been waiting for this. As you review your verses, don't just do like most people do. Okay, I'm done. No wonder you can't retain them. You want to know why you freeze up when you talk to people? I'll tell you why. You're not meditating on the verses. When you review your verses, meditate upon them. As I review my verses, I actually pretend I'm answering someone's question. I'm actually in that situation. Becky, do you remember when you were a girl and I used to tell you I'm going out to preach at the trees? You don't remember that? Well, I used to do that all the time in college. A lot of people thought I was nuts. But you know what? I used to get A's in Dr. McNeely's class. You say, how did you do that? Well, you know, most of you know I do impersonations. Well, that helps. But what I would do a lot with memorizing verses and my classes when I get ready for finals, I would go out and find me a tree. And I would preach to that tree, and I would teach that tree out loud, over and over again. And I emphasize points, and this is going to be a test, you better believe I emphasize it. I go over and over and over again. Then I come back and have somebody else review me. And I'd be all excited walking the next day. I said, give me that test! They all thought I was nuts, till they saw my grade. Let me put it this way. This is, by the way, the gospel gun. I use this a lot in my ministry. This was made by an 11-year-old boy out of wood, screws, and nails. Looks like a six-shooter, doesn't it? Well, let's go out west a minute. Let's visit Sheriff John Wayne. I promised a few people I had to do at least one personation. All right, Pilgrim. This is my town, and I'm the sheriff, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And the outlaw says, well, sheriff, I think this here gun on my horse is going to decide who's going to leave and who's going to stay. John Wayne says, all right, pilgrim, I'm going to take this gun out of my holster and put a couple of bullets in you. Then I'm going to get on my horse and ride out into the sunset. Boom! Who's the one that wins? The one with the fastest and deadliest gun. Question, how did John Wayne get prepared? Oh, I know. He put the gun under his pillow one night. He prayed, dear Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I want to be the fastest and deadliest gun of the West. Amen. No, how did he do it? He had to practice and practice and practice and practice his draw and practice and practice and then practice his aim and practice and practice and practice and practice. And then he had to practice behind the trough and behind the barrel. Why? Because it was a matter of life and death. He's walking down the street and all of a sudden, boom, and it's got to be ready. And that's the way you need to be prepared for your verses. You got to practice and practice and practice and practice. When I worked at the prison, I had to be two steps ahead of the Muslim. I had to be two steps ahead of the Jehovah Witness. I had to practice and practice and practice and practice. Take your time. Meditate upon the verses. Some of you kids do the like this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, believe in him, death, and life. Ta-da! Next verse. No. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Notice I said the reference, the verse, and the reference. That's one of the ways to retain the reference. But notice I'm teaching the verse. It's so important. Nehemiah 8 verse 8 says this. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and gave them understanding to the reading. That's the way you review verses. Understand the verse. Teach it. Know what it says over and over again. Then when you go to talk to somebody, you won't freeze up. Why? You understand the verse. You're teaching the verse. You've got a purpose behind what you're learning. It's not just a bunch of information. It is so, so important. Now look at Joshua chapter 1 once again. And we'll look at the last point. But then thou shalt make the way prosperous. And then thou shalt have what? Good success. This is the only place in the entire Bible where the word success is used. Interesting, isn't it? Now notice, success is not a fancy car. Success is not a large bank account. Success is not a fancy house. None of that. Success in God's eyes is this right here. Memorizing the Bible for keeps, meditating upon it, and applying it to your life and letting it order your steps. This is what God calls success. And that's the problem today. We're not doing that. Is it any wonder why preachers are falling by the wayside? Is it any wonder why teenagers that we have right here can be raised in a good Christian home and go to a good Christian school like this and they turn around and go to the devil? I'll tell you why. Because all it was just a bunch of information. The Word of God was not really leading their steps. And this is what the whole Christian life is all about. You've got to have a relationship with God. You've got to have a relationship with this book. And you've got to depend upon it for the answers, chapter and verse, for everything. You must understand the Bible God's way. Point under this. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You could preach a whole message on this. We're not supposed to be ashamed. 2 Peter 1, verses 20, 21. Knowing this verse, there's no prophecy of the scriptures any private interpretation. For the prophets came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as moved by the Holy Ghost. This is so, so important. Now take your Bible to Psalms chapter 37, please. I want to show you something about success. Psalms 37, verses 30 and 31. Everybody's familiar with Psalms 37:23. We quoted that already. But what are these verses? Again, I got these by slowing down and reading slow. But boy, these verses are important. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Now look at this. The law of his God is where? In his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That's a promise from God's word. You put God's word in your heart. You follow these principles we've given you here tonight. And guess what? None of your steps slide. You'll be successful. That's right. And then point two is this. You'll have boldness and definite answers. A lot of you will not go soul when you're visiting. And you're not the only one. All around this country have the same excuse because they're scared to death that someone's going to ask them a question they can't answer. If you follow these procedures, you won't have that problem anymore. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, you'll find that in a banner, by the way, at the back table. You want to visit us, we'll have our books up then. It says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give what? An answer to every man that asks you the reason hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Proverbs 22:20-21. Have not I written unto thee excellent things and counsels of the knowledge, so that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of the truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth unto them that are sent unto thee? Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And then Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A lot of you are familiar with my Bible quizzes and poetry performed. They're quite popular around here. Well, let's give you an example. In the Bible, I did many chores. One of the most famous was to lick Lazarus' sores. You say, oh, I got it, pick me, I got it, it's the dog, yeah. You know why? You had joy. I got that one. See how excited you are? That's the way it should be about your Bible. That's the way it should be when somebody asks a question and says, oh, I'll get back with, hello, preacher man. I wish I had the preacher man in my back pocket. Yeah, that's what all the people ask me to do, you know, be in their back pocket so I can go soul winning with them. It doesn't work that way. My job is to get you prepared so you can go out and do the same thing. Now that I put all this together, in conclusion, I want to give you my life testimony. A lot of you, after hearing all this, saying, wow, this guy must have a photographic memory. Ask my wife, that's not true. This guy must be a genius. No, I'm no genius. I want to tell you something that's going to shock all of you, but I want you to know, because this is my home church. From the age of 7, all the way through the 11 and a half, the doctors diagnosed me as being mentally handicapped or slightly retarded. That's right. I wasn't supposed to finish high school. That's right. I had a hard time learning. I was getting F's in school. I had a hard time memorizing verses. Oh, I knew the easy ones because I was a preacher's kid, like John 3:16 or Romans 3:23. But I was embarrassed. I embarrassed my dad because I go to Awana. I couldn't even pass the entrance test. You know why? Because I thought I couldn't do it. They called me dumb, stupid, retarded. The favorite name was Jughead. That was my name for years. Jughead. They called me that at home. They called me that at school. They called me that at church. And my mom and dad told me, well, we understand you now. We hope that you can only finish high school. And they laughed at me. I was considered to be the black sheep of the family. I was supposed to be a failure. They X'd me off. I wasn't amount to anything. And at the same time, this is back in the 60s, I loved cars. I still do, by the way. My mom says I was born with a matchbox car in my hand. I love two things, and most of you know, trains and cars. Maybe a train in one hand and a car in the other. And by the way, I still play with both. Amen. It's fun. But I'm telling you, this was the truth. Well, my dad saw this, so he started teaching me the years, makes, and models of the cars. I got pretty good at it. The age of 11 and a half, we were going to Chicago. We lived in Streamwood, Illinois, about 35 miles away from there, to visit Grandma the evening for one of her Tennessee-style cooked meals. You know, the home-cooked stuff, fried chicken and all that stuff. Sorry to make you hungry. Anyway, we're going down the Kennedy Expressway, and it's nighttime. And I'm sitting there in my dad's 59 Buick on Chevy, Ford, Pontiac, Buick. My mom says, oh, you're doing such a wonderful job, David. I said, you haven't seen nothing yet. Watch this, Mom. That's a 57 Chevy. That's a 59 Cadillac. That's a 60 Buick. She said, that's amazing. My dad said, this is amazing. How do you do this? And I said, Dad, it's easy. All you got to do is look at the taillights. My mom and dad looked at each other kind of funny and thought, well, what did I do now? I was always getting spanking kids, always getting spankings. And I thought, wow, I'm going to get another spanking. We went to Grandma's house and we came back and I went to bed and I went back to school. And I remember I came home from school the next day and I sat down with my dad. He said, son, I got some good news for you. I said, what's that? You're not retarded. I said, I'm not. He said, no. He said, I've been watching you. He said, anybody that can memorize cars like you can, years, makes, and models by the taillights, is not retarded. Now, I'm a Cub fan, always have been. And to this day, I can tell you the lineup of the 69 Cubs. I can tell you their numbers on their backs and the bases they play, like Ernie Banks, 14, first base. Billy Williams, left field, 26. Randy Huntley, 9, catcher, and on I could go with this. I knew all this, and back then I could tell you the batting averages. My dad was seeing all this. He said, wait a minute. He said, if you can do this, then you can memorize Scripture. So he sat down with me. It was a 1-9. Of course, I told him, I can't do it. I'm dumb, stupid. He said, no. He sat down with me and showed me a simple method that I share all over this country about how to memorize. It literally changed my life. I went to Boys Club that night with verses to say. I was so proud and so excited, but that was only the beginning. And as I started memorizing topically, my dad started teaching me the principles that I shared with you tonight. And he taught me the importance of being prepared. And as I got older and I got to be about the age 16, I would walk in and I never knew what was going to happen. My dad would say, so-and-so's not here. You are playing a piano special. I had to be prepared. So-and-so's not here. You are going to sing a special. I had to be prepared. Sunday night, I come to church. Guess what? 5 minutes before the service, you're preaching. I had to be prepared. Get prepared and God will use you. You got that, preacher boys? Get prepared and God will use you. That's the way my dad trained me. I'd be sitting in the service. I'd be where my brother Bradley's at. And I'd be sitting there, my dad be preaching away, and all of a sudden he'd quote a verse and he'd stop and look at me and go, where's that found, David? I had to get the reference. He was either that or crawl under the pew. This is the way God trained me. And as I developed, I learned the Bible more and more, and I saw the need to do it. And God put it upon my heart to memorize and memorize and memorize. And now, you know what? I'm not called Jughead anymore. I'm called the preacher man, the walking Bible, the Bible answer man. And I'm excited about it, folks. And I'm here to tell you that if I can do it, you can do it. I'll close with this story. I've been thinking about telling it, and I will. I was at the prison about 3 years, and I was called into the office by an assistant superintendent and the volunteer service coordinator. Her name was Diana Gore and Mr. Andres, and they sat me down and said, Mr. Barker, I understand that you're called the preacher man. I said, yes, sir, that's correct. He said, Mr. Barker, do you call yourself an expert in the Bible? Do you consider yourself an expert in the Bible? And I looked at him, and he was surprised at my answer. He said, well, as a matter of fact, yes. He said, and what makes you such an expert in the Bible? You see, what they were trying to do was intimidate me so I could stop talking to the inmates about the Bible because it was supposed to be illegal. So I looked at him. I said, well, let's see. I've been studying the Bible all my life. I've had several years of Bible college. I've written several books, and I told them about my ministry. And I said, I've memorized over 6,000 verses, and now I have over 7,000, by the way. I tell everybody, but you're my home church. And I said, yes. And I said, I have your chaplains call me up and ask me questions, and I think I'm a little more qualified than they are because they come and ask me questions all the time. He was shocked, and he didn't know what to say at first. He said, well, kind of keep it down a little bit and only answer when you're asked. And I said, well, that's the policy, isn't it? Well, it wasn't long, and he was gone. And before I left the place, they were sending inmates and captains and lieutenants to me. Why? They wanted counseling from the Word of God. A week before I left, I was pulled into another assistant superintendent's office, Mr. Pizarro. I thought I was in trouble. He shut the door, and he pulled out a pack of verse cards from his suit coat and said, preacher man, am I doing this right? I want to memorize topically like you do. He said, I want you to know by watching you, I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and now I'm a Christian, and I want to learn the Word of God. I've been watching how effective you are. And he said, somebody's got to carry on the ministry around here. And I thought, praise the Lord. You see, you're the only walking Bible some people may read. And I never dreamed I'd be able to do anything like this. I'd never be able to preach, but here I am doing it. And now maybe you understand why we travel so much. Now you understand why I push so hard. I'll tell you why. Because this is an honor and privilege to do so. And I tell you the same thing. You kids, listen. Jesus Loves Me, This I Know is not a kid's song only. It's an adult song. Never get over it. So in closing, I put one more verse to it. Jesus loves me. I'll rehearse. In my Bible, chapter and verse, I'll rehearse as much as I can so I can answer every man. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one looking around. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if God has spoken to your heart tonight, I challenge you to come and make things right with God and make some decisions. I'm in no hurry to go home. I only live 4 miles from here. If you want to talk to me and ask me questions, I'd be more than happy to help you. Catch me when we're here. We'll be here for the whole preaching conference. Stop by the table. Talk to me. That's what we're here for. But I hope that this has helped you tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, I've done what you've asked me to do. And now, Lord, I ask that you use this for your glory and bless this invitation as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And as the instruments play, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come?